You're listening to Literally, the podcast where you literally get a complete behind-the-scenes peek at a one-on-one business coaching relationship and the transformation that unfolds over the course of 6 months. I'm your host, Lacey Seitz, business mentor and success coach, and the founder of A Lit Up Life. These are recordings of actual coaching sessions with one of my clients where you get to experience her journey right along with her and gain insight into building your own lit up life and the business that you desire. All right, guys, welcome to session 5. This is such a great one in terms of the intersection of like, let's look at the message and let's talk about what is sexy messaging and sexy marketing alongside. Let's also make sure this feels aligned and good for you as a business owner and all of those things that I think that we forget are supposed to live together. You know, I think so often we feel like those aren't the same thing. And really they absolutely are. Like our message should be a reflection of like everything that feels good to us. And then of course we have a sexy marketing spin on it, but like they really do live together. So I'm excited for y'all to listen to this episode and see how that comes together for Robin. And I hope it really gives you some perspective and permission to remember the same is true for you too. Awesome. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat today too.
So for context for everyone, Robin and I recorded like the intro episode yesterday, like the get to know her one, and she told her story in a really beautiful way that I hadn't quite heard her tell it before. And then after we jumped off, we kind of had like a quick little mini 5 minutes of being like, wait, why aren't we talking about this piece more? And so I feel like it was almost like cliffhanger, like, okay, go think about that. And so now I feel like you're kind of like gonna circle back and give me the juicy details. So tell me how you've been feeling since then.
Yeah. You know how often the thing that's like so obvious that like we resist is usually the like thing to pursue.
Always. I'm eye rolling because fucking always. Yes.
I feel like this is that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last night I was listening to music and the song Invisible String from Taylor Swift was on, and I was thinking about our conversation actually. Like, it's interesting what a string this has been through like your story and everything, and it's like, duh, but it's like the hard part to lean into. So I think I said this in that episode, but what was really cool is Robin and I had recorded her intro episode for Literally yesterday. And when I was listening to that, she told her story in a way that I hadn't quite heard her tell it before. And the thread became so obvious to me and gave me such a big aha of like, hey, wait, why is this not the thing we're focused on? I say that to say that sometimes just having that outside perspective can be so useful because she knows it. She knows her story. She's obviously the one telling it, but we're so close to it that it can be so hard to find the thread for ourselves. And sometimes it takes someone else just hearing it in a certain way that creates so much clarity. And so I just wanted to share that because it's such a case for why to have support sometimes, right? Because it's not about the fact that Robin didn't know her own story or there was something hidden in it that she doesn't know. Of course, it's not that. It's just that we're so close to it that we don't always see the threads. And so having someone else that can like listen and be witness to that and see that for us from a more neutral perspective is always so incredibly useful.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's like kind of a marketing like dream where it's just like packaged so cohesively just because it's honestly just that way.
Yeah.
But also like I just had so much resistance to it.
Well, it's funny because I feel like that's almost what I was telling you yesterday. Like when I heard you tell that, I remember after we got off, I was like, listen, I'm going to speak to you from the marketing perspective. This is a marketing dream. This is so easy. This is so good. And if it doesn't feel good, who cares if it's a marketing dream, obviously. But I think you're right. Like on that front is like from that lens, it's so good and so obvious, but obviously it has to feel good to you. So tell me what, I mean, obviously it's been like 24 hours, but tell me how that's landed. Yeah. So something that we're talking about here that is so important to say is that even if something is like a quote unquote marketing dream, it still has to feel good to you. And it's still really important for your coach to care about and ask that, right? Like I can say, hey, from the marketing lens, this makes so much sense. And also, like, sit with it and make sure it makes sense to you, in your soul, in your body, right? And I think that when we find the intersection of that, where something is great marketing and also feels really good to us, is when great businesses are built. And if we're only making one a priority, it's much harder. Like, you know, sometimes I see people that are really, really focused on doing what feels good to them, but they're not really putting a great marketing spin on it. And that can be, you know, painful, because it keeps the business from growing in a way that's truly supportive. Or I see the opposite, where someone's like, I know this is great marketing, and so I'm going to do it and try to grow from there, but ultimately it doesn't feel good to me. And we're always kind of energetically putting on the brakes from that point too. So remembering that the best businesses are built on what is great marketing that also feels good to you. And I know that kind of feels obvious to say, but I think so often we forget how much we have to make that a priority if we really want longevity and sustainability.
Like, I would say, like, my whole body, my body has no resistance to it, which is what I trust more than my head.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it feels right in my gut. My intuition's like full steam ahead. This, like, just, it's the shoe that fits. Mentally, then I start going down the rabbit hole. Like, I always like to ask myself this question of, like, why wouldn't this work? And one of the things that comes up is it going to make my clients who are not mothers or who are choosing not to be mothers or who are on a fertility journey and not sure if they will become mothers feel unnecessarily excluded? Because, like, to me, the mothered business is so much more than, like, physically being a mother.
Totally.
But also, I think it would attract people who self-identify in that way. So, like, I guess that's the biggest question mark that my head goes to.
I mean, I think, like, a little bit of both is probably true there to an extent. Like, will some people kind of feel like this is not for them? I'm sure. Right. But I think that by and large, like, how you present the idea of mothering and what that means and what it means in business, because we were talking about it from a lens of, like, as a coach, you kind of take that role and lens. So I think that you can present it in a way that's not exclusionary, but will some people still feel excluded? Of course. But also, that's kind of the point of any marketing, is to be quite targeted around who you're for. And so if someone finds you and isn't a mother and doesn't desire that, are they going to feel like you're not for them? Probably, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Will the clients who really know you and have worked with you feel some type of way about it? They could, if they have, you know, their own experience around that, but I think that you have a deep enough relationship with them where that's a conversation you would hold beautifully, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, the point is to both attract and repel, and I've done a really bad job, I think, of repelling.
Totally.
So, like, yes, this is going to feel uncomfortable there.
I really love what Robin brought forward here about how she's been, you know, so focused on attracting and not repelling. And she's really realizing how much she needs to do both. And I think it's just so important to acknowledge that in marketing. You know, almost all business owners have a fear of that at some point, right? Who am I going to push away? Who's going to be repelled by this? Who am I making this not for? You know, because we want the results, we want the reach, we want to help people, we want to make an impact. And so the idea of repelling people can feel so counterintuitive, you know? But the truth is, that is what great marketing does, is it creates emotion where we're either very firmly drawn to something or very clear that it is not for us. And so I just wanted to note this, because I think so often it can feel like we're the only one kind of challenged by that. And first of all, that's not true. But second of all, maybe everyone listening or some people listening need that reminder too, that, like, attraction marketing also inherently comes with repelling certain people that are not right for it. And that does not have to be a bad thing. That can actually be a really positive thing. So hope that is helpful and a reminder that we all need.
And then, like, the other part is it descriptive enough? Is it sexy enough? Is it giving people what they want enough? You know, like, selling an optimized funnel or, like, your highest quarter in business or, you know, anything that's like very tangible like that, that tends to kind of just like be self-explanatory and fly off the shelves. This feels like the depth that I want, and it feels like that more holistic approach that's more true to me. And also I worry if like it's too, not clever in a way, but like a little bit too vague.
I mean, like, to just be really honest with you, is it as sexy as I'll build your whole funnel? For sure, no. Right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's bad either. Do you know what I mean? I think there's very few things that are kind of quite as sexy as like, I'll build you this whole marketing machine and it will work perfectly for you. But there's like a whole lot more behind that story, you know? And I don't think that that always translates well anyway, or like in practice. And so I think that it's okay if it's not like that level of marketing. Like other marketing that's really good isn't always like what you want to deliver on anyway. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's marketing in our industry that works, but that you and I would probably both find quite unethical or whatever. So
yeah,
I think it's just remembering there's kind of like different lines there. But I think the reason I really like the angle of the mother business is because it evokes emotion for me in a way that like maybe what we were talking about before didn't quite, like, I think embodied business or whatever, like unless you kind of really like know what that is or have leaned pretty hard into that, I think it's sort of hard to like conceptually feel and be evoked emotionally with that. But I think when we think of being mothered or nurtured or supported or whatever, like that immediately creates feeling behind it or desire at the very least, right? And so I think that is going to work quite well in your favor. So I think Robin's bringing up such an important point here of like, how far do I take this? Like, I can see that it's good marketing, but is it the sexiest marketing ever, right? Like Robin's example of like, I'll build your whole funnel. Like, of course, there's so much that's attractive about not having to do something, having a really big result, having someone totally take the reins and take care of everything for you. Like, of course, that's a really sexy message, right? I think what we have to remember is it's really about finding something that evokes emotion and solves a problem. Like those are really the like foundations that we're looking for. So does this really, really clearly show how we solve a problem for someone, and does it evoke emotion in them? Like being able to create that emotion and that feeling and that connection is what attraction marketing is based on in many ways. And so just because it's not like the most sexy message of all time ever, it doesn't mean there's still not something so good and juicy there if it does those two things. So just remember that and kind of working through your own messaging. The point isn't to get to the most perfect message that could ever exist. The point is to get to, is the thing that I want to say said in a way that makes it so clear what problem I solve and evokes emotion. And when you're hitting those two points, you're going to be going in a really good direction.
And it's very much aligned with like when I look at my client feedback and what they say they appreciated about our time together. A lot of the time it is like those keywords around it was really nurturing. It felt really safe. I really felt seen. I really felt cared for. I wasn't just a number. Like all of those pieces attached with what I would attach with the word mother, I'm confident I could deliver on.
I also think what's helpful about that too is like to use the example of the funnel thing. Like, not that you couldn't, but I don't think you have any desire to like build out and deliver on a funnel like that. So like that's obviously a piece of it, is like you want to be delivering on what you want to deliver on. And so my point in saying that is, this, I think, is just a good package of what you already know you're going to deliver on and want to deliver on. It's what your clients are already saying. It's what you already are showing up as. Like, it's not you having to be like, oh, I have to like do this whole other thing. It's more just like a frame for what you're already doing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's the part where the shoe just fits.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's so interesting too, because the part that like killed me yesterday that I was just like, come on, is like doing your thesis on like what's preventing women from more career success and like having, you know, like the kind of like answer in your research be mothering. And like, I just think there's so much you could do with that philosophy or that idea or that concept of like, this is still keeping women from what they're ultimately capable of and what they want. And like, here's how we can support that. Not even necessarily work around it, I don't think, but like, right, here's how we can like acknowledge and support that, which I think is what you're already doing again.
Yeah. And it's the foundation of my entire business, because that's the why behind everything I've done for my own family as well. So it's really a very natural extension of my work. Yeah. And I think too, like the somatic piece fits with this as well, because that's also the part that I think is really, you know, when we talk about the depth of a one-on-one and the intimacy and how I'm like really scared to lose that in a mastermind model, those are the pieces that I think really allow people to feel held too.
Yeah.
Even in a group setting, because you're having a personal experience, like a deeply personal experience within the group energy. So the somatic pieces, like the self-care, the white space, like all these things that mothers really struggle to find, are built into the container. They don't have to find time outside of that for those elements.
Totally. Yeah. And I also think, like, I kind of hate saying it like this because I think it's such a generalization, but I'll just speak from personal experience. Like, my embodiment took on another level after having birthed a child and felt like the biological pull of like what it means to mother and all of those things. I think you trust your body after that in a totally new way. And so I think it will even land for them differently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think there is much more embodied than pregnancy. Yeah,
totally. For sure.
Yeah.
It just fucking fits, right?
It does fit.
So what do you think about the name? Like, you know how I feel about the name. I love the name. But
yeah, like I just got tripped up by that market research I did years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think two things could be true. Like, it may have been the wrong sample group. You know, they were younger. They weren't mothers all necessarily. And also, like, when you're just asking questions as part of market research, you're not really marketing. You're not creating the message and the vibe and the feel. You're not really sharing the story. And so it does just land differently. And I just kind of had to remember that when I was going back to that conversation in 2020.
What was the like predominant feedback that like steered you away from it? Was it just like people didn't like it, or was there something really specific that stands out for you?
I would say the two things that came up were like, what does that even mean? And that doesn't resonate with me at all. Like, it was just like very direct to the point where I was like, holy shit, like, okay, like I must have my head in the clouds here because I thought this was so good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's helpful because I think you're right, as it's missing the marketing spin, because what does that even mean? I do actually think you're going to have to define what the mothered business means, what it looks like, what its pillars are, what its definition is. So actually that's fair, right?
Yeah.
And that it doesn't resonate with me is, it's interesting because it almost brings me back to what you said earlier with like, we need to attract and repel. And maybe at that time you were like, oh, I don't want to repel, forget it. And now you're like, oh, perfect. It repels some people. That's what we're after, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I've grown up too since then. Yeah. I've evolved and I bring a different level of maturity, I think, to my work, which is also more aligned with that like mama energy. So even maybe like coming from me back then, it may have not landed, but maybe even some of the same people who've watched me over the few years might be like, okay, like I could see her holding that.
So what was interesting here is Robin had done market research on this business name years and years ago that she hadn't thought of, and it did not appear, based on that market research, super viable. And so she kind of let it go until she brought it up after we had our chat on the intro call. And what I think she's really saying here, and what I feel like is important to say, is that market research can be so helpful, and sometimes without the right context, it can drive you in the wrong direction. You know, it really matters who we're asking, how we're asking, and it's also just part of it. You know, sometimes you might be surveying your market and they're telling you part of the story, you know, or you're surveying your market and you haven't yet been able to fully conceptualize your idea. And so they're just responding to a half conceptualized version of your idea. I think that was probably what was happening with Robin all that time ago, is she kind of hadn't fully solidified what the mothered business entailed or would look like or meant. nor was she serving people that were only mothers. And so there was kind of this disconnect of like, I haven't fully fleshed out exactly what this means. And so it's hard for them to have such a clear response to it. So just remember, like, market research can be so, so, so helpful. And sometimes it can drive you in the wrong direction. And just being willing to kind of have your eyes open to that is really helpful. I think sometimes we can treat market research as like the holy grail in our space, and it definitely isn't in all regards. So this is just a little bit of a reminder of that. I think it's also so interesting and perfect with the fertility cocoon too. Like, it feels like there's this like clear thread and aim and ideal person, and like it just kind of like meshes in a way that maybe it didn't as obviously before.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have had a totally different pulse to it, I think, even in 2020.
Yep. Okay. So the mothered business it is.
Yeah. Let's do it. So what does this look like?
Oh my God. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Done. Okay. Is that the podcast name? Is that the program name?
Ooh. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's the rebrand.
Yep, that's the rebrand.
Yeah, okay. It all changes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good timing, because I'm meeting the brand strategist on Friday.
Really ideal that we came to this before then.
This is where pressure just never gets you anywhere.
Yeah.
It just needed to land in its own timing.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So the Mothered Business Podcast, the Mothered Business Mastermind. That even sounds nice, like MBM.
Yep.
And then that's just like the whole thing that I built, the marketing story, my story. I mean, it is my story. I don't even have to build anything around it. I just have to share it in a way that's connecting the dots.
Yep. You, again, you just can't make this shit up. While you were writing a thesis on how mothering is what stops women, you became pregnant. And it, like, right, like, you need to go rewrite like your whole about page to have that be the center of the story, because it's so interesting, because it's like the center of your life, but it wasn't like taking center stage in your story, you know?
Yeah. And it's so funny, because when I go back to that season of my life, I was invited to do a talk at a UN women event, and I had arranged for a babysitter, and my daughter was about, I think, 18 months. And she would not go to the babysitter. So the babysitter came to the event. My daughter would not go to her. And so my daughter was on my hip the whole time I was doing the talk.
Stop. That's perfection.
And I remember having this like moment of like, why do we separate mothering from our professional activities in such a way that really isolates mothers, like systemically?
Yeah.
I just remember that moment like being so key for me in terms of like, this is the systemic piece of what needs to shift if I ever do my own thing. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of content.
It's so good. It's so crazy, right? I think also like even just noting that it's some of the stuff that's been alive for you too, is like, what does it look like to recenter myself as a mother still? Or what does it look like in my family in terms of like how much time I am a present mom versus how much time I am like doing other things? But like, and I think it's always goes so well for us when we're creating content that's aligned to what we're also in. And I don't mean that it has to be like one for one, like, oh, I'm at this stage of business, and so that's all I ever talk about or something like that. But I think like my point is, this is like a thing that's very alive for you right now. And so it's quite easy then to create content from that. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's like genuinely embodied business building.
So something that we're talking about here that feels important to name is this idea of what's alive for us is almost always what translates the best in content. I'm not saying that's like 100% true across the board forever and ever, but I think that, you know, when we're engaged around something, it almost always creates better content. So even if you're further along in your business, but you're really engaged with helping new business owners, that's still very much alive for you and is something you're going to translate well to content. But you know, in this case, like what's so alive for Robin in her everyday life and her entire experience is mothering, you know? We know that's going to translate really well into content because she's really in it and really present for it. You know, I personally find that so easy. I talk business all day with my clients. And so I'm like I find it very easy to translate that into client. Oh my gosh, I cannot talk. To translate that into content, you guys. Oh my gosh. Because it's so alive for me all day. And so I think just remember that, you know, as a piece to look at in your own business, like is the thing you're marketing and selling and talking about also the thing that you're embodying, living, being present to, having conversations around frequently? Because if it is, you're almost always gonna have an easier time translating that and better content because of it. So exciting. Okay, so you're meeting with branding Friday.
Friday, yeah. Full rebrand, like new logo, new color palette, really bringing in more of that like strength component. And I think too, like since our conversation around the balance between warmth and strength, warmth comes quite naturally to me. So that's also not a bad thing for this model, yes. Right? Because mothered is going to be heavily warmth.
Well, gosh, mother is warmth and strength. It's like the definition of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it makes me feel good too that I don't have to at all be something I'm not.
Yes.
That feels like very like, oh, like I just get to be. So we'll bring in those pieces when, like in terms of rolling it out strategically, obviously we're in like peak promo season. It's noisy and I've never launch something new at this time of year.
Yeah.
Because it is so noisy. So what does that look like logistically when there's like going to be a whole runway needed for sharing the pivot, reframing the messaging, introducing the rebrand, all of that?
I mean, I think we can talk about what we can expect in terms of timeline for the rebrand. So that might impact this, but like, let me just put that aside and answer you what I would answer you if that timeline didn't matter. And then we can go from there. I think that you have a really nice window right now to roll out all the information around this with like a buy it thing coming more in like January.
Okay.
But I think like if you could use the next month to like educate, evolve the brand, get people on board, help them see why you're pivoting, get your audience like understanding where you're going, have conversations with your clients that aren't mothers that you feel like you want to address really personally around this. Like you think that that's a nice timeline to be like, okay, I can do this like really intentionally instead of kind of being like, hi guys, so I rebranded and the mastermind's on sale next week. Do you know what I mean? You could, but I do think that that's quite like, whoa, you know, what just happened? It's a little jarring. And so I think having like a nice lead into that and then maybe like a January launch probably makes the most sense. But tell me like what comes up for you there, but also about like branding timeline.
So the turnaround's quite quick because we've done all the pre-stuff. So there's just going to be small tweaks based on this in terms of like the name and like certain elements to emphasize. But I'm thinking probably like 2 weeks it'll be done.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can like do, I'm really good at getting like sales pages and things out pretty fast. So like I would say 2 weeks from now that can all be done in terms of invitations. So because everybody is now making a lot of decisions for what their 2024 support looks like, I don't want to miss the boat of not sharing over the next couple weeks. Just so that people know, like, something's coming, it's going to be awesome, yes. Like, you know, do I do that just behind the scenes a little bit while publicly I'm more gentle with the transition?
Well, I think you can definitely share it publicly. I think it's just the difference between, like, launching or telling people it's coming and educating them a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So I think you can for sure say, like, the Mothered Business Mastermind is coming in early 2024, like like get people knowing like, oh, that's it for me. I want that without having to be like carts open, let's send a bunch of car open emails, let's launch, like, you know what I mean? But I think you can for sure like stake in the ground, hire me for next year kind of vibe, even publicly.
So then the call to action would be join the wait list. And then maybe if they're on the wait list, they get the like VIP deal.
Totally.
Okay.
Join a wait list, whatever. Comment, DM you, throw their name on a list, like make it as easy as possible. It doesn't matter. But like, for sure, I think we can like gauge interest without having to like do both at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And then behind the scenes, some of the people that have been in my world a little bit longer that have said that they want to do next round of Club Rise, I'm thinking of just privately inviting them to this.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's more like a continuation conversation than anything. So I would see that as like for sure have that sooner rather than later, but also why it's helpful to roll out kind of all this information now so they are getting that publicly versus just behind the scenes from you, you know?
Yeah, and then they're like really feeling the story and they're feeling that experience. Okay.
Yeah.
So this week, finalizing the tweaks for the brand strategist, next week, completing the sales page, and then adding the brand elements to the design once that's complete. And then this week also will be content. So I'm thinking I'll start with content around my, like one of my most highest performing in terms of engagement stories I ever did was I had this moment on Bay Street in Toronto. It's like the Wall Street of Canada, where I was taking my daughter to daycare. She was always the first one there. She was often the last one to get picked up. And I was holding her hand on the sidewalk at the red light thinking like, this cannot be my life. And it was in that moment I decided to start my business, but I didn't know how. And I kind of like on my stories, like guided people through what that looked like. And I got so many messages and actually a lot of clients from that. So I'm thinking that something like that would be a really good starting point. Also, what's present in my community is like my recent experience, and a lot of people have been listening to that podcast. And I think you've been speaking to how that experience like has broken me open and like really brought me back to motherhood being this like center of my life, of my business, of my heart, all of that. Does that feel like a good starting place?
I love this, the story of like being on the street and being like, this can't be my life. Cause I think that, yeah, that's such a resonant thing. And it's also a really good place to start this conversation. Like I loved the story you told about like much further back from that of like when you first got pregnant, but I don't think that's like the story for like this moment, right? Like I think that's a story we'll want to tell in your branding in many ways, but I agree with you that like that more like present, I guess, kind of thing is so valuable. And then also, yeah, like since the conversation is so alive in your business, and I think is really why this is evolving to begin with, like I would for sure lead with that.
Okay.
The other thing I would say there too is like doing a little bit of defining, you know, like I think we want to talk about like what the mothered business means from almost like a thought leadership perspective. So I think those are really, really valuable from that warmth perspective that we're talking about. And then I think that can be like the strength of thought leadership to be like, this, like, let's lay this out. Here's what it means. Here's what it looks like, you know.
Can I ask you what comes up for you when you heard that? Because you had like a very strong visceral. I was like, oh, she connects with this. Like what?
Yes.
Like what is it that was like, oh yeah.
I think it does bring about a feeling, right? Like if you're a mother, you know that like depth and nurturing. Or if you've been mothered, you know that depth and nurturing. So I think the feeling it evokes is why it's so resonant. But I think from like a thought leadership perspective, talking about embodiment and like maybe even some of what we were saying here of like there's nothing more embodied than like pregnancy and motherhood. Let's use that as a portal. I think definitely talking about like the strategic pieces of like how to build a business around mothering and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. There was one, oh, like the and this is how to engage with a client as like bringing that mother, or how you will engage with the client is like bringing that mothering, nurturing energy and almost feeling like there's cohesion in your life. Like I think I've always kind of embodied mothering with clients, like in a healthy way, not like being their mother, but bringing like that mother nurture energy. And so when I had Bennett, I didn't feel like I had to be a different person in my business and outside of my business. Like my identity feels cohesive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that's probably why I was so drawn to you too. Cause like I really like resonate with that too.
So I think something about identity and inner cohesion or something could be really valuable there too. Cause I think that sometimes people feel like, well, I'm this way with my kid or family, and then I'm supposed to be this totally different person in my business, and it can be incredibly jarring, you know?
Yeah, totally. And there's, you know, we're talking about some of the softer elements of motherhood, but there's also that like fierce protection and that fierce like hype and that loyalty, that like I'm in it with you energy.
Yes.
That I very much feel for my clients. That I want to also come up, that, you know, it's not a place to fall apart. It's really a place to like, I mean, if you have to, sure, all of you is welcome, but also it's a place to be like built up where you feel like you're really equipped to like fly the nest, so to speak.
Yes. I love that. I think there's so much you can do with that. That like is your current framework, but kind of just builds on it from that lens.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's a good point for the framework. How do I, like, how does the process, the framework get integrated with this? Is it branded? Is like,
I think share with me the exact words you use. Like I know the concepts, but like exactly what you say.
Strategy, systems, and soul.
I mean, I think you could go one of two ways. I think you could just be like the mothered business combines strategy, systems, and soul and have it kind of be that simple. And so it's branded in that way of being like, that's the thought leadership within it. Or I think you could use slightly different words if you wanted to, like embodiment or something like that, if you wanted to kind of like change out those pieces as you're making this change. But it's really up to you there. But I think it fits either way.
Okay.
What do you think there?
I mean, I've always wondered if we see a lot of these like three-word frameworks online and they're all like vague and a little bit generic. And I know what strategy, systems, and soul means for me, but I wonder if it's just not like, it doesn't pop enough because people are used to these generic things. Yeah. And maybe it doesn't land as much of a process as much as it's just like the elements we look at. So right. So like maybe the mothered business is like more of the process that I need to look at.
The tension there, I think, is you also want it to feel really simple. Like if the mothered business has 13 points or whatnot, that you're going to do that. But you know what I mean? Like we know like the biggest challenge point for moms is overwhelm. And so I do think that you want it to come across quite simply. So I would play with both maybe even, and we can go back and forth on this in Basecamp, but like, is there a way to present the process in a super simplified way that's digestible? Great. Let's lean into that. If not, we may still want to present like concepts or pillars that just feel like, oh yeah, of course I need those things. That makes sense to me. So it's not like this extra overwhelm barrier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And as you were saying that out loud, what came up for me was the mothered business is a little bit more intangible, but then like if the process has very tangible words, then it creates that balance of like the feeling and then also the tangible action things I'm gonna get.
Totally.
Okay.
It also could be outcomes, right? Like so that maybe it's like the outcomes of what the mother business holds. Like potentially the outcome is like it's scalable or it's not time bound or it's freedom based, or it's like, do you know what I mean? Like it's holistic or it's embodied, or like thinking more about like, what are the outcomes of what that would mean? Do you know what I mean? So less process to get there and more like, this would be the mothered business if you had whatever, I'm just making this up, time freedom, flexibility, you know, embodiment, whatever.
Yeah, totally. And that's why we do the systems, because everyone rebels against systems, but then realizes that it's deeply liberating to like not have to be in your business 24/7.
Totally.
So, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I kind of like that the best, to be honest, now that we just talked that out, because it also helps you go at it from a definition standpoint. The mothered business includes these things. from my perspective, the mothered business has to have these four elements. And then it's like obvious that you're going to help them build those four elements, but then you're selling like the outcome versus the process. Cause like you said, nobody wants strategy until they realize it gets them the outcome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or system, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So maybe I'll come up with like four things that are integral to the mothered business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so this is, I think, where I get tripped up a little bit in the curriculum piece, because all my work, my meaningful work so far, has been like heavily personalized with clients. And so like in a program where you're going to be scaling it and there's like going to be more people taking it, what parts of the curriculum are core and standardized? And then in this mastermind model, how do we envision the personalization of those things? Like, where do you think that balance is? Because a mastermind doesn't need to have like a course curriculum necessarily.
Right.
But I do think it needs to have a core curriculum.
For me, what I think it needs, and tell me if you agree with this, but like mm-hmm. what I think is like so crucial is that there's like an outcome we're all shooting toward.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the outcomes are really different, that gets even more complicated to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually think that like going on this idea that the mother business has like these four elements or these four outcomes, and then everything we do is to help us get there. But how we do that might be where the personalization comes in. I'll just make this up. But like, right, maybe like one of the things it has is like, you're not time bound. So like one way someone might get that is by having a course, and one way someone else might get that is by having like Voxer support or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or as their offers. And so I think that it could be more like that's where the personalization is in how we get you to these four outcomes, but the outcomes are what we're all like aligned around, working toward, desiring of, that kind of thing. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I feel like that's how I've always worked in Clubrise too. Everyone kind of comes at different points of their journey, and the core goal is a lifestyle first business. But then like some people will do Pinterest, some people do YouTube visibility, some people do TikTok, and I do workshops on those things or bring in guest experts if I'm not an expert on them. So do you kind of envision it being similar there, where I present a lot of options and then people kind of pick their own adventure with these core anchors?
Yep, totally.
Okay. And that doesn't dilute it to you, like in terms of like being too jack of all trades in what I'm offering?
Well, I think you are a jack of all trades in a way. So I think there is some that will have to be built in somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I think that is kind of part of it. But I think that to me, obviously this is like my personal opinion, so take it for what it's worth, but if it lands, but to me, like you would be giving up kind of your core beliefs if you did it any other way. Cause I think your core belief is it depends on like what is best for you and your audience and all of those kind of things. And so like, yes, you're kind of giving out a lot of information, but I don't think that all has to be in course curriculum. I think a lot of it can be through coaching, but I think the idea is really that you're going to help them figure out what makes sense for them versus be like, there is one singular way to build a mothered business and it's this. Like, I just can't see that ever aligning with you, you know?
Yeah, like cringing.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh my God, all the bro marketing that I find so toxic.
Yeah, totally. So I think like it is a little jack of all trades, but I think you can use that in your marketing of like, hey, the reason it's built like this is because we want you to build it how you want it.
Yeah, and maybe there's also something that's an asset there, because mothers don't have a lot of time to go and like go down the rabbit hole of things. But if I bring these like experts or these like awesome trainings in like one place, I'm also saving yeah. them time because it's all like there and they don't have to hire five different people.
Totally. Well, and they get to explore options without having to be so invested in them. Meaning like, I think sometimes it's really helpful to be like, I want to learn about five different business models so that I can actually decide which one is best for me. But I don't necessarily want to go pay for a course on each of those business models and go in depth, but I kind of want to understand them so I can understand what might be my best option, you know?
Yeah. And that also makes sense for where, like at the part of the journey that we're meeting my ideal clients.
Yep.
Okay.
So fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I'm excited.
I feel like you're in like a weird place where it's like exciting and you're bought in, but the plane hasn't landed yet, you know?
I feel like my husband always laughs because I have relationship analogies for everything, but I feel like I just like realized that my best friend is my soulmate.
Yes.
It's like, are we really going to do this?
And you're like, that's good, but I don't know what that means for us. Yeah.
Like, we've been friends forever. Are we really like?
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's such a good analogy.
I feel like that's where I'm at. Like, wow, we're really doing this.
I think what's really like alive here is like the intersection of doing what's most aligned to you and doing what's smart marketing. And I think because you kind of are very like clearly into both elements, one can pull you away from the other. Like you can be like, okay, yeah, that's what's best for me, but wouldn't this be smarter marketing or vice versa? And so I think it's just like what you're going to have to keep kind of coming back to. And this is like, where do the circles intersect? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So we kind of talked about this earlier, but I just want to like name this theme of some of the tension that Robin is feeling here of doing what's best and most aligned for you versus also taking on board what is smart marketing. And, you know, I think when you're a coach and you have a lot of experience in this, when you're a business coach rather, and you have a lot of experience in this, sometimes it can feel a bit like a push pull because you're like, I really want to do this thing, but I also know there's maybe a smarter way to market that. I personally have experienced this a lot in my business. I'll just use an example that comes up for me, but I don't know if you guys remember when I did the Million Her Forum, right? Which is now the Million Her Bundle. I called it a forum because I really wanted it to be like, hey, we're having like a conversation. I'm not like being like the ultimate teacher on this subject, but we're kind of going to host a forum. We're going to have discussion, that kind of thing. And I also really framed it like, hey, I'm not going to teach you all these secrets. Like, I'm just going to teach you how I think about business. And the truth is, that is not the smartest marketing I could have come up for that at all. Like, I could have framed that entirely differently and probably blown that up in such a different way. And what really felt best and most aligned to me at the time is not having to do that. Like, when I launched that, I was like, I don't need clients. I don't like have to do shit. I like kind of just want to do this project because it feels really exciting for me. And so I'm going to do it how I want it. And I'm going to say it how I want to. And whatever comes of that comes of that. And so I say that to say that like, sometimes you're allowed to make a decision to just do what you want. And then other times you really do want to find more of the blend. Like, you know, there might've been a different time in my business where I would have been like, yeah, it really doesn't make a ton of sense to call it a forum at this point, or it doesn't make a ton of sense to market it just as, well, I'll talk about how I think about business. You know, I would have found more interesting and sexy ways to say what that entailed. So I just want to note that we're always kind of all finding that balance. You know, sometimes we might lean harder one way or another, based on the season we're in business and what our desire is and what's most important to us and what our goals are. But if you feel that tension, sometimes it's normal and we all feel it in different ways at different times in business. And to me, like the best thing we can do is keep trying to find the balance in it or keep knowing when we're intentionally leaning one way or another. For example, when I leaned really hard into being like, I'm just gonna say it how I fucking want. I don't care if it's great marketing. It was really helpful because then I could be like, so I don't have this massive expectation that this is gonna be like the most outrageously successful thing I've ever offered. You know, it just helped me maintain good perspective. So I hope that's helpful and just a good reminder that both really can live together. It is 100% possible. People are doing it all day, every day. And sometimes you might want to lean a little bit harder one way or the other, and just bringing the attention to that is everything. Okay, so next steps, branding, wait list, podcasts, content, like how does that all feel? Like, are we getting into overwhelm territory? Do you feel like I'm pretty well set up to kind of dive into all this? Like, tell me what comes up.
Yeah, I'm like totally ready to dive in. I feel like I need to take action on all these things so that I can see the whole picture of how it's
like action breeds clarity vibes.
Yeah, exactly. And like that cohesiveness of what parts have been integrated that have always been true that are not going to be like feeling unfamiliar for people. And then also, where am I deepening the messaging so that this really lands home and people get to see a different side? So it feels fresh too.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just, you know, start there, dive in. Feel free to send me like stuff as you get to it, as you want reviews, as we roll it out, all that kind of stuff. But I guess the one other question here is like, do you feel like you want to have some personal conversations first with clients, or what do you feel about that?
Like behind the scenes right now?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you're like, I have some clients who aren't mothers that I really want to have chats with first so they understand like the intention behind this, or if that feels like I'd rather roll it out first and then kind of circle back.
The people who have shared interest in the next round of Club Rise are also people that I know are mothers or plan to be mothers.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So I think in terms of like where the relationships are, it's not going to create friction. It's more just like my public community, people who have been watching, they might feel like this isn't it for me anymore.
Yeah, totally. I mean, but doesn't that just sort of like tell you everything? Like the people who are already planning to stay, who are already like there, are going to love this message. Like, come on, it's like perfect, right?
Yeah, totally. Especially because a lot of the clients who aren't mothers, they come to me being like, I want to have what you have when I become a mother.
Yeah.
So I think they'll resonate with that piece if motherhood is in their future.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anything to talk about in terms of Fertility Cocoon? I know we haven't talked about that a ton, but I know you've been like moving the sales page forward. There's stuff coming there. Does that feel... We don't have to dive in there if that doesn't feel relevant, but just wanted to make sure we did a check-in because obviously that hasn't been front-facing here.
Yeah, so the membership site is done. We're just finalizing the resources. The website was published today.
Yay! So, yeah.
I mean, the first draft, because I just have to put the social proof in still, but I just wanted it to be like out there collecting SEO.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, so that's live. And the betas are wrapping up next month. So we're getting ready for launch. I really want to do this totally differently because I want the membership to be volume, like hardcore volume. Yeah. And I want it to be like very ads driven, which is like not at all how I run my current business. So yeah, I'm just like needing to figure out the messaging there so that ads get approved and legally we figure out our ducks in a row around like protection against medical advice and like all of those things. So yeah, I think that we're moving forward, launching in January too. So I'll be doing two launches in January, but the Cocoon is going to be more ads based.
Yeah, so that might be something to talk about is double launching. That's pretty intense. I'm here for it if you're here for it, but maybe that's something to sit with over the next week that I would just give you as like a thought process to sit with is like, do you definitely have the space for that? Does that actually feel okay? Or do we genuinely need to kind of rethink some of the idea of like giving a long runway to this and move that up so you're not in both at the same time?
I feel like as long as I've got the, like, we're going to do a masterclass funnel for the Fertility Cocoon. So like some reasons why you may not have been pregnant yet and then funnel them into the membership. It is such a low price point that maybe I'm naively assuming it's not going to be hard to get people in. There's also a 7-day free trial. So it's $77 for a month. There is a 5-month minimum commitment, but like in the fertility world where people throw thousands at solutions, like to me, it feels like a no-brainer. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be demanding of me in January. It's more demanding in the build-up to January. Whereas I feel like this mothered business launch is going to be more like front-facing me energetically in January. So I think I can do both as long as that's all prepped.
Perfect. Okay, good.
Long-winded answer.
No, that makes sense though, right? Like, you're like, I have like a lot of front end work to do, which is a now thing, not a January thing. And so it actually does make sense to put off mothered business until January to an extent then too. So I actually kind of like that overlap. And obviously like you're going to just have a lot of visibility around that time and both will probably serve each other. So that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, That's what I was thinking too. Now that we're leading in this direction, there's not going to be a friction between marketing both.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So good. All right, beautiful. So let's start rolling it out. You keep me posted on how it's feeling. I'm sure shit will come up, like the why it won't work stuff or whatever. So feel free to like drop it in Basecamp. We can process that too. And then otherwise send me what you got and we'll go from there.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You're so welcome. Excited for you. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Literally. Your precious earbud time means the world to me, and I'm incredibly grateful that you chose to spend it with this podcast. Your feedback is not only valuable, but essential to me on this journey. So if you've enjoyed the podcast and found it beneficial, please take a moment to leave a review. And here's the best part. To express my gratitude, I'll select one lucky reviewer each month to receive my ultimate mini course to maximizing results in one-on-one coaching. If you want to be an in-demand coach who's known for creating those epic results and getting epic results in your own business because of it, then this course is for you, and you can grab the first module of it for free right now at alitoflife.com/mini-course.